Good afternoon. This is Aurora's Frequencies. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I know you're going to have a wonderful experience today. We have Dr. Garland Landreth is going to be joining us shortly. Dr. Landreth was among the first to scientifically document that what we think inside can have a profound influence on the outer world. I'm going to be talking in a few minutes about an overview of torsion energy, T-O-R-S-I-O-N. Brendan D. Murphy wrote a book called The Grand Illusion, and I'm going to give you some excerpts in a few minutes for torsion energy. The key to a theory of everything, including consciousness. I'm paraphrasing Mr. Murphy. A Russian scientist, Dr. Koyrev, K-O-Z-Y-R-E-V, discovered that human thoughts and feelings generate torsion waves, which opens the door for a physical understanding of consciousness. Dr. Torsion measured physical effects caused by sudden psychological changes, proving that consciousness is related to vibrations. Emotional thoughts produced larger effects on his equipment than intellectual thoughts. The imprint of human intention into ice crystals of Dr. Masaru Emoto is just one example. Dr. Kozarev conclusively proved the existence of this energy, demonstrating that, like time, it flows in a sacred geometric spiral. Mr. Murphy's book, The Grand Illusion, gives details of this energy and its effects. I hope that you enjoy it and enjoy your journey into learning something about a new energy that we haven't talked about before. Thank you. Please remember to nurture your sense of humor and love yourself. It's time to sit back, close your eyes, relax, and enjoy the frequencies of the toning. And I'm going to have a shorter period for the opening of today's show because I want to give more energy, more time to Dr. Landreth. Prepare to enjoy yourself. Dr. Garland Landreth is here with us, and so enjoy what he has to share. Thank you.
Well, hello, listeners. Today we have an exciting guest, Dr. Garland Landreth, a cutting-edge quantum field psychologist healer whose research was cited in What the Bleep Do We Know as our guest today. He travels all around the world teaching tapping, EFT, which is emotional freedom technique, and he's going to be sharing this with us today. And he says, in short, we can create miracles with our mind, and he certainly knows how to do that. I have personally taken his classes, and they were very exciting and very helpful, and I'm wanting to share this information with everyone. And also I want to mention his website, so you can write this down, theuniverselieswithin.com. And there's much on his website for you to look at and enjoy. So, Dr. Landreth, thank you for coming. I'm so happy you're here.
I'm excited about being here. I'm so excited that you're even doing this radio show. I think it's exciting that you are influencing the collective consciousness of people who are your listeners and making a big difference in this world.
Thank you. That's certainly my intention, to raise consciousness and share leaders who are cutting edge in teaching interesting things that are helping everyone, which in turn is helping the globe.
Awesome.
Would you tell us something? I know you've done research where with meditating, the crime rate was lowered drastically in cities where a certain amount or percentage of people were meditating at the same time. Would you tell us something about that?
Yes, the movie What the Bleep actually talked about the research that I was involved with. And in that movie, what happened was we took 4,000 meditators into Washington, D.C. in the early 1990s, right after Clinton was the president. And it was around 4,000 of them, and we were all meditating in one spot. And while we were meditating, the crimes went down. And during the whole period of time, for 6 weeks, the crimes went down around 23%. And what made that really exciting was the idea that what we do inside can make a big difference on the outside world. But the key here was actually the quantum, because the truth of the matter is there's a lot of people that are talking about intentions. The truth of the matter is, and this is going to blow a lot of your listeners' minds, we never once thought about crimes while we were meditating. What we did is simply meditate. And that was enough to make a shift in the collective consciousness. Same thing you're trying to do here with this radio show. And actually change the behavior of people in the outside world. There's been about 40 studies published like this, so this is just not a one-study event. It's a very consistent phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's very exciting and certainly leads to the new energies that are coming in and that we can do all kind of things that we didn't know that we could do and we're not aware that we could do, and we're learning all kinds of interesting things to help us in shifting our own consciousness, which in turn shifts the universe consciousness.
Well, what it means is what we do in the inside can make a big difference on the outside world.
Right.
And that's a huge deal. It means we're not powerless. So many people feel like they're powerless today to do anything about all the negativity they see around them. And it's not true. There's simple techniques that we can do to change ourselves, and when we ourselves change, the outside world also changes.
Like, so within, so without, huh?
Yeah, you could say it like that. That's a good way to say it. There's, like I said, there's techniques, and the techniques can help you, enable you to do this kind of stuff. Now, you mentioned EFT, emotional freedom technique. What I do is something a little bit different than that. Emotional freedom technique basically uses memories and taps out memories to get rid of blocks. And that's an excellent technique for getting rid of blocks. In fact, it's one of the best ones around that I've ever seen. What I've done is take it to another step, another level, we can say, a quantum level. By quantum, I mean beyond time and space limitations. And what I do is I teach people how to tap and get into a state of being where one is in the zone, we could say, or high on life. Uh-huh. And when you're in this zone, things just happen. And it all seems to go your way. And that's what I do, is I actually teach people how to manifest the life of their dreams using this quantum field technology coupled with tapping. And I even use HeartMath as well. HeartMath is a new technique that's been developed using the heart and love to enhance one's brain function.
Mm-hmm. How does that work?
I haven't heard of all this stuff before, but since the last time you took a class of mine, I've expanded quite dramatically the things I use to aid in healing and also in manifesting your dreams.
Well, tell us about that, about the heart math and about manifesting your dreams and how this works with these simple, I'm saying simple, they're probably not simple, but simple techniques, simple to learn, I'm thinking.
Right, yeah, exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Most of the techniques that are around are very difficult to do. In fact, when you mention the word meditation, most people recoil because they don't want to. They can't sit there for 20 minutes and meditate. So what I do is I use love as the manifesting vehicle. And then we all remember episodes and things that we felt love towards. What we do is we use tapping, of course, to get our bodies ready and to enhance the love flow. And what I do is I get people in what I call a love flow. So mm-hmm. what they do is they feel love, and they manifest using love instead of wanting. The interesting thing is most of the techniques on manifestation or creating new worlds and realities for yourself are involved with intentions. And intentions are limiting because mm-hmm. mostly they involve thinking. And thinking involves the left hemisphere of the brain.
Uh-huh.
One of the interesting things that's happened in the last couple of years is a very famous neurophysiologist from Harvard called Jill Bolte Taylor, Dr. Taylor, had a stroke that shut down her left hemisphere. Now, I should mention that she's been published in mainstream journals, scientific journals, quite extensively on the brain. And when her left hemisphere was shut down, instead of being in a place of great pain, although she was in pain, she was in the state of ecstasy. She had the traditional mystical experience.
Mm-hmm.
And what she said was that the only reason she came back to the earthly plane, she evidently had about six of these strokes, was to let people know you got to get out of your left hemisphere. Because once we do that, you can be in the state. Now, quite obviously, you don't want to have strokes to get out of the left hemisphere. That's not a great idea.
No.
So better way to do it is to use some techniques. And intentions, here's the interesting thing about intentions. Intentions involve the left hemisphere. So quite obviously, all this emphasis on intentions has been going through all these people who talk about The Secret and the movie The Secret was all about intentions. It's not about the intentions. It's about letting go of the intentions. There has to be a technique to allow you to let go of the intentions. And that's what I do when I teach my classes. I teach people how to let go of intentions. And by doing that, you get into that what I call the love flow, quantum flow. You can say quantum flow. It's a nice word. And things just happen. I can't tell you how many people I've gotten jobs using these techniques with, even in the market that has no jobs available. I had one lady just finished doing a couple sessions with me. She went in for a job interview. She had 400 people that were interviewing for the same job. She got the job.
Mm-hmm.
I get this all the time. It's amazing.
So
these techniques work. You want to get into what I call the love flow or the quantum flow. And we use that to manifest the life of your dreams.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds very exciting. What other results have you been told about that we might want to hear?
Well, one of the things you mentioned earlier was about the crimes. And most people know about my research from the movie What to Bleep and know that meditation, in particular transcendental meditation, was involved with those early studies. Well, I wanted to expand this and see how this would work with tapping as well as what I call heart math, kind of combining what I call quantum tapping. So we did an experiment in Dallas. This happened just recently in the last 3 years. It was a three-year-long experiment. It was started by Donna Collins, and she called me up and wanted me to come down and do an intention thing. And I said, no, I won't do intention, but I'll teach you how to let go of their intentions.
Uh-huh.
And after talking to her about 45 minutes, she decided to go ahead and use me and use the techniques that I had. So we thought we had about almost 1,000 people doing this kind of combination between heart math and tapping. And I also do some other things as well, which if we have time, I'll talk about those. But and while we were doing these things, the crime started going down immediately. In fact, in some months, they were down 35%, which is unheard of. And this is in the city of Dallas. This is a huge metropolitan area. And it stayed down, averaging at least 25% for a whole three-year period, proving that these other techniques can also be used to influence the outside world. In other words, what we do inside, and using specific techniques, we can actually change the outside world and change how we interact with the outside world, so things start happening in our favor. That's called. That's why I call my classes Manifesting the Life of Your Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Fascinating. Yes, it's fascinating. I want to hear more about that. What do you do specifically to get into what you call the quantum love?
Well, here's where it takes. What I've done is I've been working on this for years. I started meditating actually when I was 19 years old. I've taught close to 20,000 people how to meditate.
Uh-huh.
And I've taught nearly 20,000, I think almost 15,000 people on these techniques of tapping along with meditation. And the big problem with meditation is, and I'm sure anybody that's tried it will tell you immediately, it's thoughts. And people don't know how to deal with thoughts. And the other thing is taking the time out. So what I wanted to do is get people into this meditative state in a very short period of time. So that's why I use the heart as a vehicle to get in that quantum state, because the scientists have actually discovered that there's a state in the brain called brain coherence.
Uh-huh.
And what research has found is that this unique state is affiliated with greater performance. You can get faster reaction time. You can get more intelligent. You can get more creative all at the same time. And what brain coherence does, it lines up all the different parts of the brain in a simple, coherent brainwave fashion, in frequency and amplitude. So all the different parts of the brain usually in a jumbled state. They're not lined up in a coherent state. During brain coherence, you actually are in that zone that everybody always talks about. And we've all been there. We're in a zone, just things just seem to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they all go our way. Well, we can get in the zone. We can train ourselves to get in the zone. And the other aspect of this is we use what has been found by the HeartMath people is that love is actually the heart. It's actually the seat of brain coherence. The heart also has gray matter. We know the brain has gray matter. The heart also has gray matter. And this gray matter then can get into the zone or get into heart what they call heart coherence. And when the heart gets in coherence, the brain gets in coherence. And what the HeartMath people have found is that the heart actually is the seat of the brain. The heart gets into coherence before the brain gets into coherence. Now, the intriguing thing about this is the heart coherence actually influences the outside world. If you have heart coherence and you come into contact with somebody within, let's say, 10, 12 feet of somebody who has incoherent brain activity, your heart coherence will influence their brain incoherence and make it coherent. So that you can change a person's brain from being jumbled to being coherent just by having love in your heart. So it's a huge deal. You know, there's a whole bunch of research on love that's found that love is very, very healing. If you have love, you don't tend to come down with serious diseases as much as people that don't have it.
Uh-huh.
All kinds of interesting things about love and performance. That we perform better when we feel love. And, of course, we have a much better quality of life. So love is a very, very active component and very, very established as far as research goes. So what if we could make that love, use it in our everyday lives? And that's what we do. We're going to teach you how to feel that love, get into what I call the quantum flow, where where it's flowing and you feel like you're in the state, you're in the zone.
Excuse me. It's the, years ago I was interested in brain waves, like the alpha state or the theta state. Is this love flow, quantum flow that you're talking about, is it triggered by that or somehow similar to that, or how is it different?
Well, there's a lot of people talking about this, and various ideas have been batted around. The main thing is that coherence can happen even if you're in beta state, which is the active state. You can be in the zone when you play. Some of the basketball players talk about it when they're all of a sudden in the zone and they can't miss. And you see, they're quite obviously acting in the real world. So the other side of that coin is when you're in the zone, stress doesn't bother you. So even if you're in the alpha or you're in the theta or whatever, your brain is coherent. A lot of times people are in alpha state and the brain is not coherent, which means all the different parts of the brain aren't in the same type of brainwave pattern. And many people think that this state of brain coherence is actually a higher state of consciousness. Most certainly being in the zone is affiliated with this state of consciousness, and that's what I teach people in the classes, and also in my DVDs and CDs. By the way, I should mention you don't have to take a class to get this. You can actually do it through my CDs and DVDs. Because the good thing about it is, by feeling love, it's a very simple technique. As I mentioned before, meditation is very complex for most people. And using love, we all have experiences of love.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't believe in God, people still believe in love. It's kind of universal. And so we can use that experience to help them get in that state. And so, and again, I have to reemphasize this. It's techniques that go with it. Because the state, a lot of times thinking about love, it only lasts for about a second or two, and then you're thinking about all the stress you're going through. So you have to have other things going along with it. So just thinking about love won't work as well as doing some techniques along with it.
Right. It sort of makes them real and lasting.
Yes.
The feelings.
Also,
helps the feelings.
Right, exactly. Exactly. It's not just a feeling, it's a state.
Mm-hmm.
The state of being, we could say. And this is the same thing when I tried this at in Dallas with kind of, we know meditation works to reduce the crime rates and change the outside world. But what we didn't know was whether some other techniques would do. And that's why I tried the tapping combined with the love flow, we could say. And we found that worked really, really well. We don't have to just meditate to get this state. But again, I want to reemphasize that this state is actually enhanced dramatically by the love flow. And also, it makes meditation really easy. What the HeartMath people found in their research, you can get into this state within 1 minute using some of their techniques. Now, I combine their techniques with tapping, which makes everything better, makes everything a lot better. So, and then, of course, I throw in some other stuff as well.
Uh-huh. Well, this all sounds fascinating. I'm anxious to do this.
Right. I don't think I've trained. And the class we did was about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, and I wasn't doing quite the same thing that it's been a while since we've had a chance to get together and do one of my classes. But good for you're lucky, though. You can actually get what I've designed is a bunch of CDs and DVDs that actually parallel my class. People can actually take my class by ordering a few things online, and they can actually get in that same state. They can get trained into it, and they don't have to go through all trying to. I've had people fly out hundreds of miles, thousands of miles to come to my classes before. They don't have to do that anymore.
Uh-huh. Oh, I bet. I know that they were anxious to learn what you have to offer and experience it because, well, it's definitely new, and I don't know any other person that's teaching anything like this and having the results that you're having. That's the name of the game, having results and lives working better all the time, better and better.
The Peace Project was a way to test because a lot of people say, you know, their technique is this and their technique is that. Well, you know, I think the reason why we did the Dallas Peace Project and the reason why I was so excited about doing it is a kind of test to make sure our techniques can work. And I know from personal experience working with clients and also having taught over 15,000 people that people tell me their lives are transformed. And when a person's life is transformed, that's a huge test there. But we want to see if we can actually make a difference in the outside world as well. And that's where we, you know, again, these techniques pass that test with flying colors.
I think people would like to have some information about this question. I understand that consciousness is beyond time and space limitations, but how do you explain that to left-brain people on what happens? And I know people can do healing work across the world, and it works on the other person just the same as it works if they're in the room with them. And that's definitely consciousness beyond time and space limitations. But what can you say about that to kind of clarify how come?
that's an interesting question. Most scientists believe that our consciousness is brain-based. The implications being that if it's brain-based, then when the brain dies, our consciousness dies. So it's simply a byproduct of our brain. Mm-hmm. The research tells us something entirely different. Actually, when I give my talks, I like to talk about four groups of research that proves that our consciousness is not brain-based. It's more quantum-based, quantum being beyond time-space limitations. And there's the prayer research. Of course, there's over 250 studies published on that. And they found that, like you were saying, consciousness is not bound by time and space. Also, the meditation research, which is the research that I was involved with, there's another group of 50 studies there. And again, we found the same thing that I talked about earlier. Groups of people meditating can actually influence the outside world. There's the research done on that shows that we can know things before they happen. And this study was done by accident. It was a very fascinating study, and it's been replicated, by the way, recently, where the people were lined up in front of TVs, and they were watching a TV, and on this TV, every 8 seconds, a new photograph would come up on the screen. And the photograph would either be very gruesome or very positive, like people on the beach. The gruesome ones were very, very gruesome. These were people in morgues, so very disgusting kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to guess in advance which photograph would come up on the screen. And the people couldn't guess what photograph was going to come up on the screen. Lucky for us, that wasn't the end of the story. What happened was the researchers, because the negative photo was so gruesome, they decided to hook people up to a GSR machine. A GSR machine is very similar to a lie detector. It measures anxiety in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And what they anticipated finding was that there'd be a spike in anxiety every time the negative photo was presented. Well, they indeed did find that spike of anxiety, but they found it 2 seconds before the negative photo was presented. So although the people couldn't guess in advance which of the pictures were going to come up on the screen, their bodies knew which picture was going to come up on the screen
mm-hmm.
in advance. And they replicated the study. In fact, it was just replicated last year by Dr. Bem, and it was published in the Journal of Social Psychology. And he did it 10 times, 9 of them came out significant. The chances of that happening is 1 in 4 billion. Pretty amazing results.
Yeah.
Now, quantum in this sense means we can know things before they happen, beyond time and space limitations. The last group is the research from Princeton that shows that when groups of people are doing the same thing at the same time, it actually influences the behavior of machines. And here what they did is they set up a group of machines that were quantum field based. Their idea being that if our consciousness is quantum field based, if we set up a machine which is quantum field based, maybe the consciousness, our consciousness, can interact with it. And these machines use cosmic radiation, which of course is quantum field stuff. And the cosmic radiation that comes from outer space is very, very reliable. So they set up a random number generator based on this radiation, and the output would be 1010. Initially, they took college kids and had them concentrate on these machines to see if they could change the output from 1010 to 111 or 000. And they found that there was a significant but very, very, very weak effect. they found if they put several of these kids together, so they were doing it in a group, the effect was much greater. So they put these machines all over the world. Like there's going 50 of them right now as we speak. And every time there's something going on where we have like a group effect, like for instance the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, all of us are watching those ceremonies at the same time. There's billions of people actually that watch it at the same time. The machines go crazy. Instead of 1010, which is the normal output, they would come up with 111 or 000. So machines' behavior changes because all of us are doing the same thing at the same time. And, of course, when the Olympic ceremonies are off, the machines go back to 101010. And they have about 250 of these events that have happened, you know, like the tsunamis and Katrina, all these different things that have happened in the world in the last, you know, 15 years, including, by the way, 9/11. And 9/11, two amazing things happened. First of all, machines went crazy for four straight days, which had never been heard, which had never happened before. But even more importantly, machines went crazy 4 hours before 9/11 actually happened. That's before the terrorists even got in the airplanes.
All right.
So our collective consciousness knew it was going to happen before it happened. So the basis, I just kind of summarized about 1,000 research studies, and I wish I had more time to summarize more of them, but it kind of gives you a clue of what we're talking about here. Now, if our consciousness is beyond the brain, not is quantum-based, it means it's not based on the brain. It's based on something else. Now, how much time do we have, by the way?
We have quite a bit more time.
Because I want to talk a little bit about consciousness. You brought the idea of consciousness in there.
Okay.
And one of the things that has happened and that kind of come to the forefront in the last couple, 3 years, this is based on some studies that were done about, well, actually, it was based on a study, if you think about it, way back in the 1800s. But for our purposes, most of the studies have been done in the last 20 or 30 years, is this idea that consciousness is needed for there even to be a universe. What has happened is there was a study. I don't know if you saw it, many of you people have seen What the Bleep, but they talked about this research study where they were shooting little electrons through a slit, and they would line up in the back wall. If as long as there's somebody observing the electron stays electron. But if nobody's observing the electron changes into energy waves. And they've done this experiment a zillion times, and they've had different kinds of angles on it. The bottom line is this, that unless there is an observer, you cannot have matter. If no one's observing the matter, the electrons, we know that tiny electrons circle an atom. But when nobody's observing it, the electrons cease to become an electron. They become energy waves. So the whole universe is a bunch of energy waves waiting for an observer. And when an observer comes, it collapses those waves, those energy waves, and turns it into matter. So there would not be a universe unless there is an observer. Now, some physicists from Stanford have suggested that maybe we're creating the universe by looking through it in our telescopes. I think that's a stretch. A couple of other physicists from India have suggested that maybe the whole universe is consciousness. And that consciousness is aware of those energy waves and creating the energy waves. So in a roundabout sense, physics is starting to actually prove that there might be something called God that exists. The observer, the almighty observer that creates the universe as we see it right now.
And that's what what makes the waves that change into matter the kind of matter that it changes into? Is it thought process of the observer, or what does the observer
well,
do?
That's a great question. I'm not sure we could even answer that one. What we do know is the observer, just the active observation itself, no matter who's doing it, creates those energy waves into matter. So the whole universe is basically energy waves. And I think the title of your show is something about frequencies. Yeah, each of the different matter forms has a different wave function, or what we call different frequencies. So the whole universe, another way to look at it, the whole universe is a song, because a wave is basically a sound, a vibration, and a vibration is a sound. So the whole universe can be looked at as a song. So, I mean, that's another way to look at it. But kind of relates back to what the title is of your radio show. But what this means is we collapse the wave functions. We collapse everything in our universe in a systematic way. And we can change the way we collapse these wave functions, and we can create new things. But the main thing is that consciousness is in the forefront now. Consciousness is the ultimate frontier. And consciousness is the part of the universe that creates the universe. And we have consciousness. So obviously consciousness is huge. And yes. That's why these studies that I just mentioned, which utilize consciousness, by the way, all of them are using consciousness here, are very, very, are so important.
What other category would you like to talk about? I noticed the research that you did in, I believe, Colorado, at Fort Carson. Can you tell us about that? What was significant?
One of the things that really affected me, my dad was in the military and so was my brother, was the huge amount of trauma that the modern-day wars in Afghanistan and Iraq have inflicted on the guys and gals in our military. And it's a huge thing. We're not talking about a small thing here. In fact, the latest research I saw that on average there's 28 people committing suicide a day from the armed services from the wars. That's huge.
And no one's talking about it.
Right.
No one's talking about it.
It's a huge amount. Yeah. Right. And it's been mentioned once or twice, but no one's really talking about it. So, and I know the things that we do, the tapping and all that kind of stuff, actually heals the trauma part of the brain. There's a whole bunch of research that's been done on acupuncture, for instance. So when we tap, by the way, I should mention this, we tap on the acupuncture points with our fingers. So there's no needles involved. So you don't have to worry about the needles part. We just use our fingers. And we tap in a specific way. For instance, I have techniques in my DVD that will show you how to tap to get relaxed and also show you how to tap to get energy and to get high. You can actually increase the feel-good neurotransmitters in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You actually feel high. It's like a runner's high. You can get a runner's high in 7 minutes instead of running for 4 straight hours. But I tell people you can actually get high. And they don't believe me until they try it out, and then they realize it works. You feel this little tingling throughout your whole body, and this little tingling is the flow of endorphins. Also, research has found that acupuncture increases serotonin, which is that feeling of being high, but also feeling of relaxation. It's like you're watching a nice sunset, and you just feel this moment of peace, but you're feeling happy at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it increases both of those neurotransmitters, and some think it might actually increase dopamine as well. Mm-hmm. Dopamine, of course, is that excitement kind of feeling of the neurotransmitter.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do with all these different techniques is we'll teach you actually how to get high and also how to relax yourself with tapping on my DVD. So this relates back again to what we can do with these techniques to make you feel better. And in essence, my feeling is that what tapping really does is it gives you control back from the brain pathways. We all have certain brain pathways that influence us. And most of these brain pathways occurred when we were young. Most of us did not get the love we needed as a child. That doesn't mean our parents didn't love us. It just means they didn't know how to show it.
Mm-hmm.
When little kids aren't told that they are loved, which most of our parents didn't do, because they came from the silent generation, then little kids think there's something wrong with them. Now, during this time when you're a kid, your brain is being formed. And when your brain is being formed, brain pathways are being formed. So let's say you didn't get enough love as a kid, not because your parents didn't love you, just didn't know, you know, they didn't give you hugs very much, and they didn't tell you I love you. We now know that telling you I love you is huge. If you don't get told I love you, it can actually influence your happiness for your whole life. So let's say we didn't get this. Brain pathways are being formed. And when a little kid doesn't get the love they need, they blame themselves. They think there's something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's fast forward this. Let's say 30 years later, you're learning about positive affirmations and you want to start doing positive thoughts. What's going to win out, the new positive thoughts or those old structural thoughts that occurred when we were 3 or 4 or 5 years old when our brain was being formed? Because the interesting thing about human beings is our brain is not really formed until we're 25. So until that time, we're still developing new brain pathways. So all those old brain pathways that say we're not good enough would be interfering with the new positive thought brain pathways that are attempting to be formed. And that's the reason why so many people don't get as far in self-help stuff as they really want to. We have to find a way to change the brain pathways. And that, to me, is the key. And that's where these techniques come in. We can actually change brain pathways. And these brain pathways, unfortunately, have been there forever. Now, getting back to Fort Carson, what I did there was train the psychologists and therapists there how to use tapping as a modality to heal old traumas and brain pathways. We know for a fact that tapping on certain acupuncture points with your fingers, we know that acupuncture, for instance, can change the brain structure. And some hospitals now are using acupuncture as an adjunct to therapy with much greater success than just therapy alone. Now, the beautiful thing about tapping for me, as I mentioned a little bit ago, is that tapping allows you to heal yourself because you're tapping on yourself. And this is huge because it gives us the power to change our own brain pathways. And this power is immense because most of us feel powerless when we have these old brain pathways or we get triggered or we feel weird. We're powerless. We say things and we know it's not what we really meant.
Right.
This is what I call triggers. Now, these triggers happen because of old brain pathways. Now we have the technology to get us out of that triggered state and to change these brain pathways. It's a huge, huge, huge deal. It's so much better than any other kind of therapy because we can heal ourselves and gives us the power back and empowers us. And it gives us hope that we can deal with these old triggers.
Well, we certainly need hope. We need to know we can do something to make a difference.
Right, exactly. And not only on the outside world, but also to our own triggers. Because that's really a huge deal.
What other part of your work would you like to talk about to share with our listeners?
I think the main thing I want to share with them is there is hope. And so many people feel powerless today about the negative things that are going out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel that life's passing them by. And there is techniques that can get you out of this trap. And these techniques work big time. And the beautiful thing is you don't have to spend hours doing them. You know, I try to get my techniques down to about 7 or 8 or 10, in some cases 20 minutes, but most of them are around 7 to 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and they work. The main thing you do have to remember is you have to keep doing them. Our old brain negative pathways have been there for you know, since you were a kid. So it does take a little while to change them, but you'll start noticing. Here's the great thing about it. You'll start noticing the changes right away. You start feeling better. It just doesn't last all day, but if you keep doing these techniques, pretty soon you're in that zone, you're in that happy feeling for the whole day. And things don't bother you like they used to. One of my favorite things to do is with my clients is that invariably everybody, when they get together, family get-togethers around Christmas time, they dread these family get-togethers because somebody, they know their brother or their mom or dad's going to make a comment and they're going to get triggered and then the whole thing is going to be ruined. It's so wonderful to hear people after they come back from the get-togethers, how'd it go? He said, I can't believe it. First time I was actually good. It was a great one because I didn't get triggered. So these old triggers then rule us. It's so wonderful to have a technique where we can rule the triggers. We don't get bothered by stuff.
Right.
We remember that old the book that was I forgot the author who wrote it. Don't sweat the small stuff, and everything is the small stuff, or something like that. And
right.
That's exactly what happens. You get in that state. Do you remember the name of that title of that book? I think that's what it was. Don't sweat the small stuff, and everything is the small stuff.
It could be it.
Yeah,
well,
something like that.
I
think that's a general idea.
To be able to have something where the triggers, when the triggers are not present, then you have the opportunity to, it takes the charge off of the situation or the event or the sentence that someone says or what ordinarily would put you in a tailspin. So this work would take the energy off of it.
Yes. These techniques makes you immune to the triggers. You
well,
still get triggered sometimes, but the triggers are like little blips on the radar screen. They don't bother you as much.
Right. You still hear what they say, but it doesn't bother you. It's like, oh, okay.
Yep. Well, and you just kind of let it go. And the hard part, people can't let it go, and that's what I talk about, how to let it go. And that's what these techniques will do, is actually train you how to do that. Now, what I've done is I've actually, in the last 2 years, because I've been teaching these classes, as you well know, for 10 years now, I've actually been teaching meditation since I was 21 years old, so, you know, 30 years or more. So I decided to put all my classes in a CD and DVD form. So that way people can buy them and then take them home and work with them. And my Manifest the Life of Your Dreams was one of them. And I use something called Ho'oponopono along with it. Some of your listeners may have heard of that.
Yes, I
Ho'oponopono
have.
Is that shaman that in Hawaii, who's actually a psychologist, who happened to heal everybody in the psychology ward of the criminally insane by simply, according to the rumors anyway, by praying over their files by using the words, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. Yeah, you've heard of that, right?
Yes, I have. I'm very familiar with that.
Okay, the interesting
I've heard him speak in some of his classes.
Oh, good. Yeah, Hugh Lynn is, I think, one of the psychologists, and of course, he's popularized by Joe Vitale from The Secret. He wrote the book Zero Limits is in it. Zero Limits was the name of the book. Excellent book, by the way. And the idea being, it turns out, and I must have had 100 people tell me this story, that he prayed over those files. Turns out he never prayed over those files once. He didn't pray for the other people. What happened was, he prayed for his own negative thoughts about the other people.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I'm sorry wasn't about the other person. He changed his own self. And by changing his own self, it actually healed the other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the research I did by people meditating, it changes the outside world. They didn't think about the meditation. They didn't think about crimes at all. Very similar kind of peril. So I was really excited when I read Joe Vitale's book. We actually did a conference together, and I went and talked to him, or I flew down to see him. And by the way, Joe Vitale, who was called Mr. Intention, no longer believes that intentions are the way to get there.
Uh-huh.
He no longer believes it. He wrote 30 books on it. Now he believes letting go of the intentions is the key. It's really interesting. But that's another whole story. I have to have another whole story on that one. But so basically the bottom line is this, that I use that to get to the subconscious doubts. Everyone's talking about the subconscious stuff. Bruce Lipton, who wrote Beyond Biology of Belief, and Deepak Chopra's wrote a bazillion books, have all said we've got to get to our subconscious because these positive thoughts aren't working as well as we thought. And that's what this technique does, what this whole CD does. Now, that CD is meant to go along with my DVD, Tap in the Bliss. My DVD, Tap in the Bliss, will not only teach you how to get high, but also will teach you how to get relaxed and be more meditative and more prayerful with tapping. There's 6 sections on there. There's 2 sections that will get you high with songs, which we chose specific words in the songs and in the positive affirmation section as well. For those two sections that get you high, we chose specific words that would be going after your subconscious stuff. And so they're positive affirmations, but we chose specific ones that would be related to positive, to the old subconscious doubts from when we were kids. So we're counteracting that by tapping along. And it's like tapping along. It's like watching a workout video or a yoga video. You're doing it with a group of people. So we had 40 people from the Dallas Peace Project come on by, and we actually taped the whole thing in about 3 or 4 hours. And we were able to get everything done and just put together just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two sections on more prayerful or meditative kinds of things. There's a whole section on prayer. But we don't tap like we normally do there. We tap in a relaxing way, and we'll show you how to do that. And I have a bunch of prayers. I wrote a prayer on abundance there. And then there's another prayer from St. Francis, that prayer he wrote is incredible. It's a great prayer to tap to. And then there's another prayer from the Sufi tradition, more of a prayer for connectedness and peace. That's what I really liked. I had to modify it a little bit. Then there's another section on prayerful or meditative songs. And we used Alleluia as one of them because a lot of people love it. I love it. It's pretty convenient.
Mm-hmm.
It's 12-minute version so that you can just really drift into it while you're meditating. And another section that has kind of a star stream kind of music. It makes you feel like you're expanding through the universe using synthesizers. And then I created some lyrics, and we put the lyrics in there. Don't worry, I didn't do this. I didn't do the lyrics. Somebody else did. But and then there's a section on how to fall asleep, stay asleep, and there's a section on how to lose weight with it by getting rid of cravings. You can also use it with cigarettes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's involved with the DVD. The CD, we have two of them that I'm really emphasizing now. One is, of course, the Manifestation CD, which has Ho'oponopono in it, which I just explained. And it also teaches you how to let go of the intentions so that you're no longer thinking them out loud and you're no longer bound by them. And also teaches you how to get in the zone. Then there's my Held in the Arms of God CD, which is a great CD, by the way. It's kind of a little bit more meditative, but it's got some chants on there. It's got some, and it's got the main thing with that one, though. It teaches you how to deal with thoughts. It gives you some techniques, and you actually do the techniques, and then you do the tapping, and, of course, you're holding your heart, which is one of the aspects of what I do when I meditate now. I have people hold their hearts.
Uh-huh.
And it tells you what to do in this whole technique. And people feel like they're being held in the arms of God. So many of us were not held as children. Nowadays, you know, so the moms and dads have these little things they carry around the kids on their backs or their fronts. So the kids are always in contact with their parents. We've learned that being held like that is huge for the kids' development. We never had that. So I have people do this little holding thing around their heart, and it's very tactile. It's great if you're single, because then if you're single, you feel like you're having somebody hold you. I have a night technique on there as well, so people can go to sleep while being held by God. But yeah, and I use that for healing.
Well, you have given us so many things to think about today and to know about that we didn't already know, and I know everyone's going to want to go to your website and look at all of these CDs that help change behavior through help changing what we're working with internally and to help us change what we're working with externally. I'm sorry that our time is up. You'll have to come back another day. This has been fantastic, and I really appreciate your coming and speaking to our listeners today. And it's always good to speak to you and hear what you're doing next. And this is fabulous, and I can't wait to tune in to your CDs and do these myself.
Great. Well, I'm excited about being here. Thanks a lot for inviting me.
Okay. Well, I think our time is up, and so I'm going to have to let you go now. But thank you so much. I really, really, really appreciate your coming and speaking to us today. It's been wonderful, fascinating, interesting, and educational.
Well, I'm very excited about the work that you're doing, and I think you're making a real difference in the world.
Thank you.
So I was honored to be here. Thanks.
Thank you.
What wonderful information. Thank you so much, Dr. Landreth. I really enjoyed everything you had to say. So enlightening. So everyone, his website is www.theuniverselieswithin.com. Being in the arms of God is a wonderful experience. Wouldn't we all like to have that experience in that CD? See his Tap into Bliss CD. You may see many aspects of Dr. Landreth's work on his site, www.theuniverselieswithin.com. His work is heart perceived and heart projected. Thank you again, Dr. Landreth, for being here with us today. In 2 weeks, the show on June the 25th, I have a surprise for you. We're going to have new tools and much excitement. I truly look forward to your being here and enjoying what new things I have for you to experience. Share your information and your joy of this show with your friends and neighbors and invite them to come and be a part of this wonderful experience. This is Aurora's Frequencies, and I'm signing off for today, and we'll be back June the 25th. I'll see you then. Thank you. Love yourself and nurture your sense of humor.